This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Ezekiel chapter 16, and the first 14 verses. Here God is reminding the nation Israel of their beginnings, what they were when God came to them. How that they were nothing more than just a nomadic Bedouin family, dwelling in tents, with no land, no permanent abiding place. They were like an outcast, a child that was born but not wanted and just thrown out, not even severed from the placenta. Covered with blood, ready to die. And God said, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto you, live. Yea, when I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said, live. And how God took them from this state of pollution and developed and worked in them his work until they became a glorious nation, known throughout the world. Beginning with the latter portion of verse 8, we find God speaking about his work with them, that which he did. Let's read it. Yes, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. And I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. And I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. And thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my beauty which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Now, as we read of how God took this family and brought them life, blessed them, gave them a kingdom, made them beautiful, it is only a foreshadowing, and it speaks of that glorious work that Jesus Christ has wrought in each of us, how he has taken us from our polluted condition in sin, washed us and made us his children, brought us into his kingdom, and placed his glory and his beauty upon our lives. And we would like to reflect this morning, looking at this picture as a picture of God's work in the church, in our lives, we who comprise the church. And it is important that we remember what we were when God first came to us. God said, when I passed by thee and I saw thee polluted. And when God first came to us, surely our lives were polluted with sin. We were dead, Paul said, in our trespasses and in our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Now, man defines death as the separation of your consciousness, your soul, from your body. The Bible defines death as the separation of your soul and spirit from God. So that as far as the Bible is concerned, many people who are still walking around with the full motor functions of the body are, as far as God is concerned, dead. The Bible says you're dead while you yet live, if you're just living for pleasure, if that's your God. You're dead while you're yet living. And so Paul says he has made us alive who were dead in our trespasses and sins. God found us in that sinful state, polluted with our sins. And then God declares that he washed us. But our lives were without any real purpose or meaning. We were lost and we were wandering aimlessly. We were wasting our lives because we were living for our flesh, living after our own desires. There's only one life. It'll soon be passed. And only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. Everything else that you're doing for your own welfare, for your own gain, for your own profit, is all wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn. The only lasting things are those things which are being done for Jesus Christ. And how wasted was our lives before Christ came along the path. We were actually living as animals, following just instinct, living by instincts, and living after the desires of our flesh. Paul the Apostle, again, in writing to the Ephesians, declared that we were living after the desires of our flesh and of our mind and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, if I am living only to satisfy my fleshly needs and my body desires, my body appetites, I am living as an animal lives, because an animal lives only to satisfy its body needs. And that's the problem with the world in which we live today. Too many people are living like animals, living only to satisfy their body needs, and there is no awareness or consciousness of the eternal. It is not until I am born again and begin to live in this new spiritual dimension that my life takes on any real meaning or real purpose. Paul the Apostle, again describing our condition before Christ, said that we were without God in this world. You know, I can't think of a more forlorn, tragic condition to be in than without God in this world. This world is in a big mess. There's very little hope. In fact, there are a lot of people that have just sort of given up hope. There's a general who this last week got demoted because he dared to speak out some of the facts that he knew, but he had not cleared his speech with the government. You notice they did not really say that what he said was wrong, it's just that he didn't follow the clearance that he was supposed to have followed, and he warned of the fact that Russia is getting ready to strike. We're living in a rather hopeless world. And to be without God in this world, I don't know how people can live. I don't know how people get by without God living in these days. And then he went on to say, without Christ and without hope. That's what it's to be like without God. You're without Christ, you're without hope in this world. But to us who were polluted in our sins, cast off and alienated from God, wandering aimlessly, without purpose, without meaning, without hope, Jesus came to us. And there he said, I entered into a covenant with thee, and you became mine. When Jesus took the cup, he gave it to his disciples and he said, take, drink. This cup is a new covenant. in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. God said, I've entered into a covenant with you. Jesus Christ has entered into this covenant relationship whereby he declares, if we will believe in him, and in that sacrifice that he made for our sins, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all of our sin. God said, when I came, I found you polluted, but I've made a new covenant with you, and now you are mine. And by this new covenant, Jesus has redeemed us. Now, we talk about the redemption, and the word means to purchase or to buy. And in this case, my life was sold out to sin. I was in the bondage of corruption. I was a slave to my flesh, but Jesus purchased me with his blood. He bought me, and now I belong to him. The Lord said, and you are mine. Paul said, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are his. I really don't belong to myself. I am really not mine to determine how I'm going to live or what I'm going to do. I've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am now his. He bought me. He redeemed me from that polluted state that I was in. He said, I'm going to make this new covenant where I'm going to purchase you. You're going to belong to me. You're mine now. How glorious it is to belong to him. How marvelous that now I am his. And then he said, I washed thee. There I was in that polluted state, but I've been washed from all of the pollution through Jesus Christ. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. That word in the Greek, cleanses, is imperfect present tense. It is actually continually cleansing me from all sin. What a glorious work. Not only has the Lord cleansed me from all of the past defilement and pollution, from all of the past sin, but the Lord is continually, day by day, washing me and cleansing me from my sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, because that work of God's Spirit continually cleansing us from all sin. I wash thee, the Lord said. And then he said, I anointed thee with oil. Having washed me from my sins, he then anointed me with his Holy Spirit. And that anointing is a phrase that is used of the Holy Spirit, that anointing that you have received from the Holy One. And so we have been anointed with the Spirit of God. Paul the Apostle again said that we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession. And so God has filled us with his Holy Spirit. And then he said, I clothed thee. He began to clothe me in his robes of righteousness. Up until I met Christ, I was trying to clothe myself with my works of righteousness. And so many people today are still trying to clothe themselves with their own good works. Well, I do my best to live a good life. I try to live by the golden rule. I try to be kind. I try to be generous. I try to be considerate. I try to be sympathetic. And all of these little good things that we seek to be and to do, to be honest, to be fair, to be just, to be loyal, All of these little things that we go around in our endeavors and works to be and to become, God looks at us and he says, stinking, filthy rags. For our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord said, I clothed thee with embroidered work. In other words, he just didn't toss me an old gunny sack and said, put that on. But embroidered work. Now, of course, over there among those people, they do a lot of embroidered work, and it is beautiful. It shows a lot of care. It shows a lot of design. It shows a lot of skill. It shows a lot of labor. And I think of what God did to provide me with a robe of righteousness through Jesus Christ. I think of the love that's behind it. I think of the skill that is behind it. I think of all of the work that is behind it. That work of God in my behalf. I've clothed thee, God said, to cover thy nakedness with this embroidered work. In, again, the book of Ephesians, it says, for you are his workmanship. Weymouth and some of the others translate that, you are his handiwork, seeking to better translate the Greek word poema. You are God's handiwork. An embroidered work is handiwork. And he's saying, you are his handiwork, created together in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has before ordained that you should walk in them. And so God clothes me with his work, the embroidered work. And then he said, I have given you shoes of badger's skin. Now, just what the badger skin was, we do not know. It is not the animal of the badger that we know today. But it was a very soft leather that they made these slippers out of, this soft leather, and they dyed them purple. And the young girls especially, this was the prize of life when you received these soft leather slippers dyed purple, because they spoke more or less of royalty and of success and of blessings. And God declares, I have blessed thee. I have given you these shoes of badger skins, the soft dyed purple that speaks of royalty and of the blessing. And then the Lord declared, I have girded thee with fine linen. Now, this fine linen was the most expensive cloth there was in those days. It was to be worn by the priest when he ministered before the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, when the bride of Christ is there in heaven, being adorned for the marriage feast, it said, and the bride was adorned with fine linen, pure and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What is the righteousness of the saints? It is that work that God has wrought in me for me. Paul the Apostle said, I wanted to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which was of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. Not having my own filthy rags, my own works, but to be clothed in that glorious righteousness, fine linen, that God has given upon me, that righteousness which is of Christ. So that as God sees me, he sees me in that righteousness that is of Christ. There is the story told of a young girl who came from a very poor background. And yet through great diligence and hard work, she earned her way through college, working her way through. And when she came to the time of graduation, it was such a tremendous feat. She wanted to have a new graduation gown, but by paying up her tuition, she just did not have the funds to purchase a new gown for graduation. And so she took the few dollars that she had. She went down to the dime store, found a pattern, and bought some material on sale. And she borrowed a sewing machine from a girlfriend and began to cut out the pattern and sew together a new gown for the prom. Well, she had never sewn anything before in her life, and thus she had a lot of difficulty. It was really hard for her to get everything looking right. In fact, the seams were removed several times and done over again, and the hem wasn't quite straight, and the lines weren't straight, but she finally did put together something that looked somewhat like a gown. And she put it on and went out before the girls in the dorm and said, "Look, girls, this is my new graduation gown to wear to the prom." Well, they complimented her, but in their hearts they grieved for her poverty and thought, how tragic that she doesn't have the money to buy something that's presentable. It's the best she can do, but oh my, isn't that sad? And about that time, Lady Bountiful walked in the door and saw her modeling the dress before her girlfriends. And she said to her, "Come with me." And they got in the chauffeured car, and Lady Bountiful took her down to I.G. Magnin's, where they sat in the plush couches as the models came walking through wearing these gorgeous gowns. And the door opened, and this model came through with a gown that was so gorgeous, it just took her breath away. And as she sort of gasped, Lady Bountiful saw that she was interested in that dress and called the model over that she might model it close, that they might examine it with closer inspection. And as the model was turning and showing the various facets of this magnificent gown, the little price tag flipped over and she saw the price of $4,500, and she thought, oh my, I didn't know there were gowns that were that expensive, but it's so gorgeous. Lady Bountiful saw that she was interested in it. She told the clerk, please wrap it up and have it sent to the car. And all of the way home, back to the dorm, she was dreaming of that beautiful gown. She took it into her room, the package, she unwrapped it, and she put the gown on, and it was a perfect fit. And she was absolutely stunning. Now she walked out into the room again where her girlfriends were assembled. And as she began to model the gown for them, she said, look, girls, at the gown which was given to me. It's more beautiful than anything I could ever make. It's more expensive than anything I could ever buy. But it was given to me, and it's all mine. I think of how sometimes we prayed around in our righteousness, in our good works, and we say to people, oh, look at me. And they think, oh my, isn't that sad? But that's the best he can do, I guess. But one day, when Jesus came across my path, he clothed me with a righteousness that I could never develop myself. Oh, it's more beautiful than anything I could ever make. And it's more expensive than anything I could ever buy. but he has given to me the righteousness of Jesus Christ by my faith in him. That's what Paul said. I want to be found not having my own righteousness, which is of my own works of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. And so he washed me. He anointed me. He clothed me with his righteousness. And then he compliments me. He says, "Oh, you're so beautiful. And thou wast exceeding beautiful," the Lord. Well, then he's, first of all, we forgot something here. He put the jewelry on. You just don't, you know, so my wife says, "Well, honey, I've got a new dress now. I've got to get shoes and get a purse," you know. And it's not the cost of the dress that gets you. It's the accessories that go with it, you know. I've you know, after a few years, you learn a few things. My wife says, "Oh, honey, I need a new dress." "Oh, all right. How much does it cost?" Well, that, I used to ask that. I don't ask that anymore. The dress, the cost of the dress isn't, you know, that's just the start of it. By the time you get everything, all the accessories to go with it, is when you go looking for a loan. And so the Lord said, "I clothe thee with this embroidered work, and with this fine linen, and then I put upon thee the jewels, the ornaments about thy neck and upon thy head, the earrings and the beautiful crown for your head and all." And Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." Not just life, but a more abundant life, a rich, full, overflowing life. And as I read of these ornaments that God placed upon this bride that he was creating for himself, I look upon them as the gifts of the Spirit. You remember Peter said to the godly women, "Let your adornment not be with the fancy clothes and the wearing of jewelry, but the inward adornment of the Spirit, which is the true beauty." True beauty isn't displayed in something you wear outwardly. True beauty is the graces that are within your life, that fruit of the Spirit with which God has adorned my life. And I think of that love that he has given in Christ, and the joy that we have in walking with him, and the peace, and the long-suffering, and the gentleness, and the meekness, and the goodness, and the self-control. All of these beautiful ornaments that God places upon us as he adorns us with his beauty. And then God declared, "And you were exceedingly beautiful." We used to sing a chorus, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." And oh, how important it is that we submit ourselves to God, that he might work in our lives his work, that his beauty might be seen through us. Paul said, "And we all with open face beholding the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory into that same image by his Spirit which works in us." "And you were exceedingly beautiful," God declares. For the Spirit is seeking to conform us into the image of Christ until we all come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And then the Lord declared, "For your beauty was perfect through my beauty which I had put upon thee." Now, God has interesting characteristics. One, he is eternal. He also is omniscient, which would include precognition. In other words, God knows in advance what's going to be. He is also eternal, so he is timeless. Now, with these two characteristics of precognition and eternal, God knows everything that is going to be. So often, God speaks of something as though it was before it is, because he knows it is going to be, because of these two characteristics of omniscience and eternal. So he can speak of things as though they already existed, though they don't yet exist, but they're going to exist. And because he knows they're going to exist, he speaks of them as already existing. So God looks at me and he says, "Oh, Chuck, you're perfectly beautiful." I say, "Oh, God, I'm bald and, you know, and this and that." And he says, but you see, he sees me in that perfected state, and he speaks of it as though it already existed. Now, I am not yet what I'm going to be. A long ways from it. But thank God, I'm not what I was. You see, when he first started, I was polluted. But he washed me. He anointed me with his Holy Spirit. He began to work in my life as he clothed me, as he decked me out with his graces. And one of these days, Jesus is going to present me to the Father, perfect, complete, whole. Not a flaw. "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." We sang this morning, "And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat." Someday when I'm standing there before the throne of God in that scene described in Revelation 4 and 5, and I stand there complete in Jesus Christ, robed in that fine linen, pure and clean, standing there before the throne of God with all of the glory and majesty of God's eternal kingdom surrounding me, glittering and shining around me. In my heart, I'm going to be saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for coming to me when I was polluted, for washing me, for anointing me with your Holy Spirit, for clothing me in your righteousness, for adorning me with your graces, and for placing your beauty within my life, making all of this possible. Oh, Jesus, I owe it all to you." I'm not going to be standing up there saying, "Now, friends, let me tell you of my sacrifices and all that I've done to have this glorious life that I now live, you know." No way. All I can say is, "Thank you, Jesus. You came to a worthless, polluted wretch, and you saved me. Surely I was outcast. I was dying. I would have perished. But Lord, you washed me. You took me in. You clothed me. You kept me. Oh, Jesus, I love you." He says, "You're perfectly beautiful." Oh, that can only be through his work in me and his completed work. Now, David said in the psalm that we read, "And I will be satisfied when I awake in his likeness." One morning, I'm going to wake up, and the people down here will say, "Oh, he died last night." But I'm going to be looking in the mirror, and saying, "Wow, you're perfectly beautiful." For I will awake in his likeness, in his glory, in his kingdom. Oh, how good God is to us. How rich we are in Christ Jesus. How thankful I am for all that he has done. Shall we pray? Father, as we look at what you have done and what you are doing, and as we read the promises of what you intend to do, our hearts are overcome with thanksgiving and gratitude. O Lord, that you should think of us, that you should reach down, O Lord, to touch our lives, that you should change us from what we were into thy beauty and into thy glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. Some of you today may still be in your polluted state. You have not yet really turned your lives over to Jesus Christ. You're still in that condition of doing your best. But you're tired. You look at your life and you see it's a mess. You realize the pollution that is there. You're sick of it. And you want help. God brought you here today. You're not here by accident. He brought you here today that he might work in your life. And all you have to do is give him the chance. Turn it over to him and open the door and say, "Okay, Lord, take over." I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room, meet with one of the pastors back there, and just turn your life over to God today, that he might wash you, that he might anoint you with his Spirit, that he might clothe you with his robes of righteousness, that he might adorn thee with his jewelry, that he might place his beauty in and upon your life. Now may the Lord be with you and watch over and keep you, and may the beauty of the Lord our God be upon thee, and may the world around see that reflected glory of God through your life this week, as your life becomes a witness and a testimony to the work of God through Jesus Christ.